Blog Talk Radio.
John Crawford, who was murdered in the Cincinnati, Ohio, Walmart store because he's carrying around something that was not a real gun, that was out of the package in the store where they sold this particular gun. Came in not giving a warning to him. He was on the phone at the time that he held the gun in his hand, and he didn't even have it aimed at anyone. He just was walking around, talking on the phone with the gun in one hand and the phone in another hand, and they just came in and shot him. And nothing has been done about this, and the media doesn't really talk about it. They don't really say much about Mr. Crawford. He was a father of two, and he was a nice young man from what I could read about him. Now, fast forwarding a year later, here we are back in Cincinnati, Ohio, for the murder of Sam DeBose, a 41-year-old father of 10 that was pulled over by a campus cop because he did not have a license plate showing in the front of his car. And this escalated into something that still is not understandable, why this killer cop chose to murder this man. When I say murder, he shot him in the head. One shot. And he killed him. My question is, will this ever stop? Next week, on the 9th, will be the 1-year anniversary of Michael Brown, who was murdered by a killer cop in Ferguson, Missouri. For no reason. And now he's walking around giving interviews to the newspaper as if he didn't do anything wrong. And we have the media continue to tell us that because he was found not guilty, no true bail was given by the grand jury, that apparently what we saw and what we understand to be a killing was not true. And this is what they want us to believe yet. Till this day, they will argue with you and tell you that O.J. Simpson murdered those two people. They believe that, and they will forever believe that, when there's way less evidence to point to the fact that he did. But here we are. We know that this killer cop murdered Michael Brown in broad daylight, had lots of witnesses that know what they saw. But yet they try to tell us that because the DOJ and the local prosecutor found no cause to charge him, that what we saw was not true. Very interesting how biased and how the media portrays incidents of people of color and how they try to belittle our incidents and try to tell us that they're not really happening. And Dr. Drew needs to be called out on it, you guys. If you ever listen to his show, which I try not to, but I need to know who is saying what. And he seems to think that millions of people are not affected by the police here in this country. And that's because he's never walked in our shoes. So he doesn't know what we fear. He doesn't know what we wake up to every day. He doesn't have a clue. And for him to say that those numbers are exaggerated, it's very interesting to me, but it's very typical. So tonight, I want to talk about something that's very sad, who murdered this man. And I had a body camera on, not understanding what this camera meant, because once again, just like the body camera down in Texas. They don't think that the mass media is going to tell the story. Because remember, over 700 people have been murdered by police this year, and over 30% that we know of have been African American. So we don't hear about all these stories, and they know this. So when they know that they have this body camera on, they don't really care because they don't think that no one's going to see this except for them and their peers. So the body camera showed how he went up to the car and explained to Mr. DeBose why he pulled him over and wanted to see his license, which Mr. DeBose did not have. He also wanted to see the bottle that Mr. DeBose had in his car, which was a bottle of air freshener that he told him it was. Yet the media tried to make it out to be something different at first because it had the word gin on it. The media has also come back and told us that this killing was justifiable because there was marijuana in the car and money in the car, which makes no sense. See, they seem to think that the police have a right to take the law into their hands by judging us right there on the spot. They're giving the police this right to execute us without our just due, without our day in court. It's very interesting how they seem to understand that we're not supposed to have our day in court. We're just supposed to be dealt with right there on the street by someone who doesn't know their left from their right. And when I say that, I mean half of these police are not trained much at all when it comes to confrontation. In their training, they don't have that many hours that they learn how to deal with confrontations with people. They don't have that many hours where they learn how to deal with their psychological self. They say they're fearful, but yet they go and they get these jobs in the areas where we live. Now, if you're so fearful of us, why do you go and get a job in the area where we live? Why don't you just stay away from us? Why? So there's a lot of controversy in what they say, and if you have the time to read that article that was so wrongfully done with the murder of Michael Brown, this New York magazine decided to do a 10-page article, I believe, with the officer. And he's crying out about many different things going on with his life, which really, who cares? But I don't see a 10-page article on who Michael Brown was, on the real Michael Brown, or his parents, or his siblings, or his peers. Where's his article? He's the victim. But they're trying to make it out to be like this man is a victim. It's really sad how this officer can just murder this Du Bois guy. Now, if you haven't seen the video, you need to see it, and you need to listen to what his lawyers are trying to say and all those other biased reporters out there. They're trying to say that he was reaching for the ignition to turn the car off because as soon as he told Mr. Du Bois to get out the car, Mr. Du Bois turned the car on and was proceeding to drive off, which he had every right to do because he was not under arrest. Now, if you look at the video with our own eyes, just like we saw with our own eyes what was going on with Eric Garner, but they tried to tell us something different with that case as well. If you look at the video, you'll see his hand is grabbing for the seatbelt. He is trying to take the seatbelt off of this man. Now, in what training did he ever see, and what type of training told him if a car turns itself, if someone turns the car on and they proceed to drive off, you're supposed to grab their seatbelt? That is absolutely, totally insane. He grabbed the seatbelt. Never once was his hand inside the steering wheel or caught in the steering wheel. He grabbed the seatbelt. And with his left hand, he grabbed the seat. With his right hand, he grabbed his gun. And he shot him point blank in the temple. Now, there's some that say, oh, because if you have a gun in your right hand and your left hand is doing something, your right hand is going to follow whatever your left hand is doing. So he did not mean for the firearm to go off. So here we have once again an excuse for this trained cop. See, they're not telling us the truth. They're training them to kill us, not to protect us, to kill us. And that's what the problem is. See, you have to understand that. because that's why they don't take the time to understand, to de-escalate the situation, because in their mind, they can kill us if they choose to. And they are known to do so. Now, once he grabbed the seatbelt, Mr. DeBose had turned the car on, and he proceeded to drive off. And in 2 seconds flat, he shot him in the temple. Now, he's saying that the car drug him. Now, mind you, the shot went off before the car even moved. And they'll prove all of this. The video shows you the shot went off when the car was right in front of the cop. And then I guess the cop fell backwards. And he's trying to say that he was drugged by this car, and that's why he had to shoot the man. Well, first of all, his lawyer sounds like a complete idiot when he's on the television speaking about these things, and he's acting as if we're dumb. Well, I guess because the majority of the media is, because they're out there reporting all this stuff that makes no sense. They're reporting the fact that this killer that killed Michael Brown was innocent. So if they're reporting that, they're definitely believing and reporting stupid stuff constantly every day. But that's why I call my show Truth Hills, because I'm trying to bring to you the truth and the logic behind the truth and how you know it's the truth. If you look at the tape, you see that he shot the man before the car even moved, and he fell backwards. And then you see the car going down the street. You do not see the officer attached to the car at all. The camera proves all of this. The forensic evidence will prove that he was not shot as he drove off. It will prove that he was shot straight in the temple. The gunpowder residue probably is right there in the car. All of this is proof. But then here's the other part of it, which we hear so often now, the report that the officer made, how he lied on the report. Because once again, this is a town in Ohio, Cincinnati. He didn't think that anything was going to come of this. He never thought that the media, the national media, would get a hold to this, just as the officer did in Texas. He never thought the media would play his video over and over again. And this is what you have to understand, their frame of mind. They're always telling us about our frame of mind. They're always trying to dissect us and make us seem like we're the guilty people. Oh, they had marijuana in them. Oh, they must be this. Oh, they must have grew up like this. Oh, their parents are like this. But never once do you ever hear where these cops come from. You hear it, but they don't really speak about it a lot. So I want to give you a little background about the officer that murdered this Mr. DeBose. This is not the first encounter that he had where he, I would say, lost his mind. And if you look at his mugshot, he looks like he's crazy. He looks like he's just zoned out somewhere, because he just doesn't believe that, not me, I'm not being charged with murder. I only did what most of my peers do. That's what we do. We go around, and if they don't like us, we take them out with our guns. If they don't do what we tell them to do, then we have a right. If they flee, we have a right to take a life for fleeing. What does that remind you of? I mean, even back in slavery, when you fled, they wanted to catch you because you were worth more alive to them than you were dead. Interesting, isn't it? Now, they don't care. They don't care. It's like they get a badge or something for killing you. And that's why we have all these people that don't understand how you can kill a lion. People are upset, but we're being gunned down almost every day now, whether they're there to protect us. So you have people arguing about it. Are they trying to conserve the animals, or are they trying to hunt them? And you have people arguing, are they trying to murder us? Or are we murdering ourselves? Which, that's a whole other topic. But tonight, let's talk about this officer who murdered this man. Well, he was a former University of Cincinnati officer. Well, he is a former University of Cincinnati officer. He worked for the University of Cincinnati as a cop. And because the university was having a few problems with crime in the area, they decided to expand the patrolling area outside of the campus itself. And this is where this incident took place, a couple of, I believe, a mile or so outside of the campus where he encountered Mr. 43-year-old DeBose. I'm sorry, he's 43 years old. So he had encountered a couple of the people in the past couple of years, and it was not a good encounter, one of them being a 15-year-old girl who he forced to the ground and tackled her. They found him to be in his right frame that day. He was doing his duty that day. And then there was this other time, and you could see this all on the news, at least some news. It's not going to show as often as it needs to be shown. But this one incident was really interesting, how he came up on this car in May of 2014, like a month after he had joined the university. He was engaged in an heated exchange with two men after pulling their car over because, see, the car, the bumper was dragging a little bit, not even to the ground. The bumper was just coming loose from the car. So he pulled them over, and he was talking to the driver, but he also asked the passenger what his name was, and the passenger told him his name. Mr. Demetrius Pace told him his name, and he asked for his birthday. But Mr. Pace said, no, I'm not going to give you my birthday. I'm just a passenger. You don't even need to have all this information from me. So there's footage of this. They go on and on and on. And so the guys get on the phone, and they call the police and tell them, hey, we need a police here because this campus police is harassing us. And so the police come, and things seem to be straightened out. But when you see the video, just to see the exchange that goes back and forth and to see this cop killer and how he stands there with the flashlight beaming in their faces and demanding that they give him this information, it really reminds you guys, you know, of what we see back in the slave days. And back in the South in the 50s and the 30s, it just really hurts my heart when you see this. And it's just unreal. And this is America. And this is supposedly this great country in the 21st century. And you see these exchanges with these cops and these people in uniform and the gun that they have by their side that just transforms them into these people that I don't even know who they are. And you wonder, when is this going to stop? And you wonder, is this something new? We know it's not anything new. We know that it's been going on for a very long time. And it's not a fad. And it's not anything that's just going to go away because we stopped talking about it. We haven't even had a chance to stop talking about it. It won't stop. And then I heard someone talk about how when a cop kills someone, they're really never charged. And even if they are, they go out and they get a gold fund. And even when the guy Killerman killed Trayvon Martin, they set up a gold fund for him, and he collected all this money. And these cops collect all this money. But they broke the law. And then when one of us goes and breaks the law and we collect money, we have royalties or income, they take it from us. Depending on what state you're in, depends on how much they take. For instance, there was a young man who belonged to a rap group, and he was charged with something in the beginning of their career, and he was responsible for writing a lot of their hits. So while he sat in jail, his money was coming in. And so the state got a hold of that money, and they took it from him because by law they had every right to that money because they said that he needed to pay them because he was sitting in the jail and they needed to charge him for that. But these cops, the kill people, they go and they get these gold funds, and no one ever takes this money from them. They give them this money. They don't take it for their fees. They don't take it for the court fees. They don't take it for anything. They get to keep this money. So this is how screwed up the system is. And then we have this broken window policing where a lot of the times they're just getting killed by the police because they're there and they happen to just be at the place where the police is, like Michael Brown was. Nobody called the cops to that area that day. He was walking down the street. That cop that killed him had no clue to what had happened earlier at the store. Just like other people that are just there and they just so happen to come into contact with a cop and then all of a sudden they're dead. This happens over and over again. So we have a very messed up system here, as I tell you every week, and it's just getting worse. I mean, I can't believe a year later how many shows I've done about a cop killing a black. Now, I'm going to go to the phones right now and see what our callers have to say. Caller 314, 315, are you there?
Hi, Terry.
How you doing, Harriet?
I'm okay.
I just don't believe it, Harriet. I don't even know what to say anymore, Harriet. I just can't believe it.
When you said killer cop and you mentioned the cops are becoming the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yes, ma'am.
It takes me to a comic book character, Judge Dredd. And the movie Judge Dredd, this is in the, you know, like maybe the 25th century. And the police have been elevated to where they travel the streets as judge, jury, and executioner. There's no trial. They convict you right on the spot send you off to prison. Or they convict you on the spot and they kill you on the spot.
This is a comic book strip? Comic strip?
That was a comic book. You know, the graphic novel.
Yeah.
The graphic novel, and it became a movie. Judge Dredd, Sylvester Stallone stars in it. And Winona Ryder. Oh, I can't think of the girl that's in it. But that's exactly where I went to. I said, well, I'll be God. I said, fiction has become reality.
Oh, no doubt. I've always said if they write it and they put it in print and they put it on film,
right,
they're thinking it's there.
That type of thing, along with, have you seen the violence that exists in the video games?
Oh, no.
That
no doubt.
Our young boys play.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Our youth, our society has become desensitized so that when you, and all these killings being shown the way they're shown in the media, people look at it and go, that's a shame, and keep going on with their lives.
Keep going.
Because we have become desensitized to this.
Yes.
We go, that's just a fact of life. You live, you die. You go, wait a minute. That's not the way life is supposed to be.
No, it's not.
No, like I said,
and then they try to tell us that we're not seeing what we saw. I mean, they tell us that the cameras are going to do justice.
Now that really gets me. I'm not that intelligent. Wait a minute. Now see, personally, I've got cataracts, and I'm getting ready to go for surgery. So yeah, I could probably misinterpret something. But somebody who's got 20/20 vision, and you telling them they don't know what they're looking at?
Right. They're telling us that
this?
The cameras are going to do good, but explain to me how
exactly
if the judge and the jury is not going to believe it, you know?
Man, they tell you know they say okay, we're going to put these body cameras on them. They're going to have dashboard cameras, so you're going to have firsthand knowledge of everything that goes on. Every word being said is being recorded. Okay, and then we hear this, we see this. But you're telling us we're not hearing and we're not seeing, but we know we are seeing and we are hearing.
Well, and it's just like they tried to come up with a reason why those two young ladies in the Michael Brown case did not see what they saw, and how they try to say witnesses don't always see what they say they saw. So now they're trying to tell us that the cameras are really not seeing this. It's amazing to me. They won't stop. They won't stop. It doesn't matter. They're not going to stop. The media is going to always side with them. They're going to always try to make us look like the villain and them look like the victim. And it's sad, Harriet. It's sad.
As I said last year, I am extremely disappointed in mass media. I'm extremely disappointed.
I am
at one time, you could trust the journalists, and the journalists dug for the truth, even at the expense of their lives.
Right.
Those type of journalists still exist, but they are executed.
Exactly.
When they go and search for the truth, they are hushed up. They are paid off. They are in prison.
That's right.
Okay?
You don't see them.
We're supposed to be in the land of the free and the land of free press.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where you can speak your mind, and the truth is supposed to be shown. What? This is distorted truth.
It is.
You're making us no better than dictatorship.
That's
and
what
small
it is. And it
comes
to cost. And see, here's the problem, Harry. I heard Dr. Drew say earlier, and it really hurt my heart when he said that, you know, there's a picture out there of Bobby Christina. And he's saying, and the one lady on his show, she said, well, you know, it's wrong for that magazine to buy it, and they should feel really bad. He said, no, the people that want to buy the magazine are the ones that's pushing that. And I beg to differ, and this is what I would challenge him on, Dr. Drew. Where does it stop? No, the people, because we have all this freedom, I wish there was a law that said to these magazines, you cannot buy these pictures. You cannot buy these pictures without the permission of the people that these are photos of. If you don't have permission of their loved ones or their legal party, you have no right to buy this picture. And you say just because people want to buy it, the magazine, that's who you blame. No, that's not who you blame, because without the pictures, you wouldn't have the people buying the magazine. So I guess he would say it's not the drug supplier, drug dealer's fault. It's the people buying the drugs' fault. Is that what he would think? And I'm sure he wouldn't think that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I have the problem at. Why would you buy a picture like that? Because the public won't see it if you don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people don't understand. And until we understand the whole, like you said, the whole moralistic thing that's driving this, and it's nothing but money that's driving it, Harry. That's all it is.
Of course.
It's money. And it's sad that someone with all that education like him would say something like that and blame it on the people that buy the magazine. And that's what America has heard. Oh, boy. They're counting me down again, Harriet. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. But I had to get a lot out tonight, and I have a lot of emotions. But
I hear it.
We got to continue with the truth. And as I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I thank you, Harriet. I thank you for your truth and for telling me about that cartoon. That's deep. That's deep, really deep.
Yeah, it's an actual movie. Judge Dredd. Go find it.
Yeah, you definitely, because that's serious. And I always said that whatever they make in Hollywood, oh, no doubt, they're trying to make it true here in the reality.
Exactly.
It's the reality.
Right.
Somewhere. You better believe that. Okay, well, maybe next week I may brighten things up a little bit with something different, because these stories are really beginning to be overwhelming.
Yes.
And I thank my listeners, and until next week, stay true and be blessed. And thank you, Harriet, and good night.
Good night.